Good morning again. The focus, obviously, this morning is on prayer. I want to talk specifically about the purpose of prayer, because I think by looking into God's Word and finding about what the purpose of prayer is, then we can fully realize its power and connect with that power. And I want to talk about the purpose of prayer because I suspect that if I asked everyone here to give their own definition of what the purpose of prayer is, we would get a number of different answers. And part of that arises from the fact that we don't really have a theology of prayer. We haven't really come up with a systematic way of understanding what prayer is, how it works, and all these different things. And there's a number of reasons why that's true, but I want us to look at five reasons behind the purpose of prayer this morning as we go through God's Word. And as we do so, I invite you to pray with me one more time as we get started, please. Heavenly Father, this morning as we open up your Word, we submit ourselves to you and we ask that your Holy Spirit will guide us. We pray that you will open up our hearts and minds from a message from you, Lord, and that you will draw us closer to you during this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The first passage I want us to open up to is in James chapter 4. Right there at the beginning of James chapter 4, starting in verse 1. There are some things that the Bible says about prayer that I think you might find a little surprising. And this is one of them. It's a concept that we don't verbalize very often, but it's biblical. It's here in the Bible. And I want us to talk about, because it is a very key reason of why we should pray. So James chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 here. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have, because why? You do not ask God." The Bible is saying there are some things that will not happen, some things that will not come to pass if we don't ask for it. It's a little bit challenging because we always think, well, God knows everything. End from beginning from end. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Well, so why then do I have to say it? If he already knows the desires of my heart, the burdens that are on my soul, why do I need to verbalize that? And then some people also think, well, God is always working for our good, right? The Bible says God is always at work. He's always working for our good. So again, why? Why do we have to ask for it then? And I'm going to start off by saying this right here clearly at the beginning of this sermon. There's a lot about prayer we do not fully understand. And this is one of them. I can't give you a great reason of why we need to ask. There's some hints in Scripture, but there's not a really solid, proof text, we can say this is why we have to pray, otherwise it's not going to happen. But the Bible says there are some things that will not come to pass. Things will not happen if we do not ask. There's an interesting story of this in the Old Testament, if you don't mind turning to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings in chapter 19. The king of the Assyrians has threatened Hezekiah. He said, "Hey, I know that you believe in this God of yours, but don't let him deceive you. I'm coming for you. I'm going to destroy you." And Hezekiah is rightly troubled by this. And so he goes to God in prayer. You see there in 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 through 17, you see the prayer of Hezekiah. He's saying, "Lord, come on. We need you. The Assyrian king's coming for us." And so he prays this fervent prayer. And in verse 20, 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 20, this is what it says. It says, "Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayers concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria." I have heard your prayers concerning the king of Assyria. But this translation in the NIV doesn't do it proper justice, because there's actually a word in the Hebrew that's there that denotes a causation here. I am answering your prayer because you have prayed. There is this sense of causation that doesn't come through. The New American Standard Bible is more clear in their literal translation. Because you prayed, I have heard you. And the meaning here in the Hebrew, it's not just hearing, not just that the words are going into God's ear. It's not just that this Hebrew sense of the word hearing. It's, I hear you and I will act. But there's a sense of causation. It's because you prayed. If Hezekiah had not prayed this prayer, the implication is God would not have saved them. Hezekiah needed to pray that prayer. He did, and God heard him and answered him. Reason number one of why we pray is because some things will not come to pass if we do not ask. Reason number two is an interesting one. And it goes back to a sermon I preached a while ago on the intersection between faith and action. If you recall in that sermon, we talked about a number of stories. One of them was the bleeding woman who came and fought her way through the crowd to touch Jesus' garment. And when she touched Jesus' garment, she was healed of the bleeding that had plagued her for years. But like we said, it wasn't just this head knowledge she had that, oh, Jesus can heal me. That wasn't enough. She had to fight her way through the crowd, and it was not until she touched his garment that she was healed. It was that head knowledge, that faith, that provoked action on her part. That's where the power was. We talked about the Israelites crossing the River Jordan during flood season. The River Jordan is flooding over, and God says to his people, hey, carry the Ark of the Covenant into the middle of this raging, flooding river. A suicide mission. But faithfully, the bearers of the Ark of the Covenant walked to the edge of the water. But it was not until their toes got wet when they stepped into that raging, flooding water. It was not until that point that that river parted and they walked through on dry lands. It wasn't enough to believe in their head that God could do it, even that he would do it. It wasn't until they acted enough to get their feet wet that that river parted. A faith that propels us to action. That's where the power is, and that is true of prayer as well. This act of praying, it shows our desperation, our need, our reliance upon God. And that's where the power is. I want us to look at this back in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and I want to look in verse 16. We talked about this verse the last time I was here when we talked about fasting, but I want to go back to it. James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer, the action of prayer is powerful and effective. And the word there translated as effective actually has its root in the Greek word for work. The King James is more deliberate about it. The King James says the fervent prayer. This prayer, this action on our part, this act of praying is powerful and effective. I want to go to another story, this time in the Gospels of Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 tells a story of people pleading with Jesus. And now when we think of people talking with Jesus in the Gospels, we don't normally associate that with prayer. But it's the same principle. It's people coming to their Savior, communicating with him. Matthew chapter 20, I'm going to start in verse 29. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. If they had not cried out, would they have been healed? Even if they had cried out that first time, but listened to the crowd rebuking them and were quiet again, would they have been healed? In their desperation, in them ignoring everybody else, ignoring social protocol, ignoring anybody tried to get in their way, they said, Lord, I need you. Lord, have mercy on me. And that fervent desire of their heart and them taking the action of crying out to Jesus is where the power was. And he healed them. Prayer, it shows our desperation before God. It is an action that shows our need and dependence upon him. A third reason I think we can see in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 6, a famous passage here. We quote it often. It's beautiful. It's a great truth, a great promise. But pay attention to what it says. Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is the means by which we lay our burdens upon the Lord. This passage says you give your petitions, your prayers to God, and there is available from God a peace that passes understanding. Jesus said, in this world we will have trouble. He finished off by saying, take heart, I have overcome the world. But he does not promise us a peaceful existence in this world. He doesn't say everything's going to be hunky-dory, peachy fine. There will be problems that we face. We will have burdens. We will have trials. We will have hardships. But the Bible says, when we take those burdens that weigh us down, that beat us up, that cause us to lose sleep, when we take those and we lay them down in prayer, at the foot of the King of the universe, there is available to us a peace that passes understanding. Prayer is how we lay down our burdens before God. We see this again in Psalms chapter 62 and verse 8. It says, trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Pour out your hearts to him. There's been several studies that have been done looking at people who seek professional counseling, therapy. And several studies have come to the conclusion that a significant portion of people who go to professional counseling would not need to if they had just one friend that they could confide in. If they just had one person they could unburden themselves to. But they don't. And so they seek the help of professional counselors, someone that they can unburden their soul to. But the reality is we have a God in heaven. We have this friend who is always there, always listening. All we have to do is pray and lay down our burdens before him. The fourth reason, we looked at James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, pray for one another that you may be healed. Pray for one another. And Jesus even said, pray for those who persecute you, pray for those who are mean to you, pray for those who do harm to you. We are to pray for other people. We call this intercessory prayer. And there is something that is hard to explain, I think hard for us to fully grasp. But there is something about praying for someone else that allows God to work in ways he otherwise would not. Let me unpack that a little bit, because God is all powerful. How could he not do that? God does not force himself on people. God loves us. He gives us the freedom of choice. God is not forcing himself onto my cousin who does not want to accept him. God doesn't do that. But when I pray for my cousin. I say, Lord, please do something in his life that opens up his heart to you. Then there's something in the cosmic reality of the great controversy that frees God up. He is no longer bound by the decision of my cousin to reject him. Instead, he is freed by my decision to pray for my cousin. And God can work. It's interesting, in the Greek, the word for healing is sozo. It's the same word for saving. Pray for one another that you may be healed could just as easily be translated as pray for one another that you may be saved. Certainly, we should be praying for the salvation of others. These intercessory prayers allow God to work in powerful ways in which he otherwise could not, without forcing himself on to situations in which they have not invited him. We can provide that invitation on others' behalf. We can say, Lord, work in this person's life. You may have heard of the study that was done at the San Francisco General Hospital by Dr. Randy Bird. He wanted to study this concept of intercessory prayer, and so there at the coronary intensive care unit of the hospital, they had 393 patients, and they set aside 192 of them to be prayed for by people, and the other 201 would not be prayed for. Prayer groups around the country were given the first names of these 192 patients, their diagnoses and their prognosis. The groups were asked to pray for the patients by first name, once each day, and no other instructions were given. Neither the patients, nor the doctors, nor the nurses taking care of them knew which patient was in which group. It was a blind study. But the results were pretty shocking. The prayed-for patients were 5 times less likely to require antibiotics and 3 times less likely to develop fluid filling the lungs. None of the prayed-for patients required breathing tubes compared to 12 people in the other group who were not prayed for. And fewer of the prayed-for patients died. There was a scientific study done that seems to show the power of intercessory prayer. And this study, by the way, was published by the American Heart Association. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Pray for one another that you may be saved. When we pray, God intervenes in other people's lives and changes them. The fifth and final reason that I want to talk about this morning about why praying is so powerful and the purpose behind it is really the most important one, the most essential, the most core aspect of the purpose of prayer. And it comes from the realization of what prayer is. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is talking to God. And even listening, I would argue, it is communication with our Lord and Savior. And communication is the foundation of any relationship. I wouldn't have much of a relationship with my beautiful wife if we never talked. And we cannot have much of a relationship with God if we never talk to Him and if we never listen to Him. Let's go back to James chapter 4 real fast. James chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us a powerful truth of what prayer can do for our relationship with God. James chapter 4 and verse 8. I'm just going to read that first sentence there. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Well, if we think about the reality of where God is, God the Father is in heaven, Jesus is in the most holy place, the Holy Spirit is everywhere, so God is omnipresent. And yet here in this verse, it says there is something special. When we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And how do we do that? How do we draw near to God? It is through prayer. By entering into the Lord's presence and communicating with Him. Draw near to the Lord and He will draw near to you. I want to turn to our passage for the day in John chapter 17, our Bible reading. This is Jesus in this beautiful section of John praying these powerful prayers, praying for his followers. And here in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, we see this beautiful passage. It says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God. And the entire arc, the entire narrative of this book, the Bible, the entire thing is a story of what God is doing to save his creation. And to save them, he says, you need to know me. You need to have a relationship with me. And we cannot do that if we never talk to him. We can't get to know him if we don't converse. We cannot grow closer to the heart of God if we never pray. The most basic, most essential, and most powerful aspect of prayer is that it is all about drawing near to God, about talking to him and listening to him. Sometimes we treat prayer as even almost a superstitious thing. We pray just to make sure we're protected, we're covered. We prayed over that so it's good, taken care of. Sometimes we treat prayer as just a way to get what we want. Sometimes we treat prayer as a last resort. We find ourselves in a bad situation and no matter how we got there, we're like, oh, by the way, God, I need you. But there's a modern day parable that I'm fond of. I like modern parables. But like the parable that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus, the parable isn't quite theologically accurate, so forgive me for that. But it's powerful nonetheless. The parable is a story of a man who lived down by the river. And one day this man heard a report on the radio that said the river was flooding and that everyone who lived by the river needed to evacuate to higher ground. But the man said, I'm a Christian. I pray. God loves me. God will save me. So the waters rose up and began to flood. Soon a man in a rowboat came by, saw him in his house, said, hey, you in there. Come on, get in my boat. I'll take you to safety. The river's flooding. But the guy shouted back, no, it's okay. I'm a Christian. I pray. God loves me. God will save me. The waters continued to rise to the point where the man had to get on top of his roof. And soon a helicopter hovered overhead and a man on a megaphone shouted down, hey, you down there. The river is flooding. Let us throw you down this rope so you can climb up and we'll take you to safety. And the man shouted back, no, it's okay. I'm a Christian. I pray. God loves me. God will save me. The waters continued to rise and this man drowned. And as the parable goes, standing at the gates of St. Peter in heaven, the man demanded an audience with God. He said, God, I don't get it. I'm a Christian. I prayed. I thought you loved me. Why did this happen? God looks at him and says, I sent you a radio report, a helicopter, and a guy in a rowboat. What are you doing here? Because when we treat prayer that way, just to get what we want out of God, there's no power there. When we just treat prayer as a way of getting ourselves out of trouble whenever we get into trouble, there's no power there. The power is when we connect with our Lord and Savior. When we draw close to Him, He will draw close to you and blessings will flow. Power will flow. Miracles will happen. But if we just treat it as the occasional time where, oh God, I need you right now, we miss the point. And we often will miss what God is truly doing. It's easy to miss what God's doing when we don't know Him very well, when we don't have that strong connection with Him. It's easy to miss what He's doing. This world is full of distractions, and the devil is quick to blind our eyes. If you really want to see the power of prayer, you've got to spend time doing it. Time communicating with the King of the universe, because what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is. If you want to see the power of prayer, you've got to do it. And it can't just be an afterthought. It has to be intentional. It has to be, Lord, I want to get to know you better. Because Jesus said in his prayer, this is eternal life, that you know me. Prayer is how we get to know God. Prayer, without it, there are some things that will not happen if we don't pray. Prayer is a means by which we can pray for someone else and God can work in their life in powerful and miraculous ways. Prayer is how we lay down our burdens before the Lord and have that peace that passes understanding. Prayer, through that action of prayer, is how we show our desperation. Like what we said, when faith is combined with that action, and that action can be prayer, when faith is combined with action, that's where the power is. But most importantly, most beautifully, most powerfully, prayer is about getting closer to God. There's one final story I want us to look at in the Bible, which, even though it doesn't mention the word prayer, is kind of what I think is the ideal of prayer. And it's way back in Genesis chapter 5. And we'll close with this. Genesis chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 22. We're talking about Enoch. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. What does it mean, Enoch walked with God? The Bible just states it simply, but what we can certainly take from that is Enoch had a relationship with God for 300 years. He spoke, communicated with God for 300 years, and his relationship got so close with God to that point where eternal life just became automatic. And way back in Genesis chapter 5, we have Enoch being taken to heaven because of how close he was with God. This is eternal life. That they know you, the Father. The whole purpose of what Jesus came to do, to seek and to save the lost, to save us, there's no point to it if we don't have that saving relationship with God. And prayer is the key to that. So as we've seen over these past 10 days, we have seen God working as a result of our prayers. We have seen the blessing of praying together, the power that has, the beauty that has. We have experienced this peace that passes understanding. But we don't want it to stop here just because these 10 days ended. We want this to be a reality for this church going forward. We want to be a church that prays. Because why else are we here? If we're not trying to connect with God in heaven, then what are we doing? It's truly, truly a desire of my heart that we will be a house of prayer here in the Brewster Seventh-day Adventist Church. And 2019 will be a year of prayer for us. And if we can do that, one another, join together in prayer, praying for each other, and seeking that great connection with our God in heaven, God is going to do powerful things in us and through us. Because at its most basic, most simple, most powerful form, prayer is connecting with God. And God says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is the desire of our hearts to draw near to you, and certainly for you to draw near to us. May this year be going forward be a year of prayer for us. May we be known in this community as a group of prayers. as a people who communicates with the God Almighty. And as a result, Lord, we pray that people will be brought to you, that their hearts will be opened, and that people will enter into a saving relationship with you because of our prayers. Help us to do it, Lord. Remind us of the importance, and empower us as a church to give it priority. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.